My grateful heart, so filled with years of living, memories flow by me like petals on a stream. My grateful heart. Brings peace that lasts forever, illuminates the dream.
My grateful heart, so filled with years of living, memories flow by.
My grateful heart, so filled with years of living, memories flow by me like petals on a stream. My grateful heart, sorrows brings peace that lasts forever, illuminates the dream.
My grateful heart, so filled with years of living, memories flow by
Welcome to Outbeat Music. I'm Michaela Kennan, and you are listening to the pure a cappella sounds of the Threshold Choir, a bedside singing group whose mission is to sing with and for those at the threshold of life. Members of the group are with us tonight, and I'm going to tell you what they have in common with Bach, Bob Dylan, and even the Beatles right here on Outbeat Radio. It promises to be an unforgettable evening. Stay with us.
Memories flow by me like petals on a stream. My grateful heart forgives so many sorrows, brings peace that lasts forever.
From this day on, I will know peace and bear the fruits of everlasting love. And as my cares and sorrows cease, I'll fly the heavens like the passing dove. From this day on, I will know rest, as sweet affection holds my memory. For I have seen that I am blessed by all the loving kindness given me. My soul knows the way to take me home today. I know I'm only passing through. From this day on, I will be free from all the worldly worries I once knew. And as I go, remember me with all my heart. I give my love to you.
From this day on, time has come. I will know peace.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us here tonight on Outbeat Radio KRCB-FM. Remember, we are your first and foremost voice of the LGBT community right here in the North Bay. I'm Michaela Kennan, here in studio with Mary Moore Campagna on the engineering boards this evening, and let's get started with Greg Moralia and the Outbeat News.
I have found Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for this Sunday, March 10th, 2013. The Canadian government has quietly spent more than $200,000 fighting Uganda's so-called Kill the Gays Bill since the nation's parliament renewed its efforts to pass the anti-homosexuality bill last November, this according to Canadian's National Post. A senior Department of Foreign Affairs official told the Post that Canadian officials have conveyed Canada's concerns with the bill to Uganda's foreign ministry and have confirmed that Canada is working closely with Ugandan civil society. Canadian funding is directly involved with several regional LGBT projects in Uganda, but is not being widely advertised, according to the Post. These projects reportedly include training sessions for activists in Uganda and other African nationals facing similar anti-gay legislation, emergency kits for those who fear for their safety, and the establishment of an emergency hotline to help those LGBT Africans wishing to escape homophobic countries. Most of these programs are run by local African groups and directly funded by Canada's Department of Foreign Affairs. Flanked by lawmakers and women's rights advocates, President Obama signed into law this Thursday an LGBT-inclusive legislation aimed at combating domestic violence and helping its victims. The president signed into law the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act that reauthorizes the 1994 anti-domestic violence measure written by Vice President Joe Biden. This measure provides funding for the investigation and prosecution for violent crimes against women and funds victims' assistance services. Additionally, the reauthorization institutes new provisions to help more victims of domestic violence, such as LGBT members and individuals in Native American tribes. In his remarks before signing the bill, President Obama said, quote, "Because of this bill, we'll keep in place all of the protections and services that Joe described, and," he said, "we'll expand them to cover even more women." He added, quote, "Because this is a country where everybody should be able to pursue their own measure of happiness and live their lives free from fear, no matter who you are and no matter who you love." And here locally, an effort is being made to restart the Napa chapter of PFLAG. Rose Marie Vertullo has organized a meeting to rekindle this important community resource. The former Napa chapter dissolved last fall. PFLAG is a national nonprofit organization that was founded by Gene Manford in 1972. It's made up of parents, families, and friends and straight allies uniting with lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. PFLAG is committed to advancing equality through its mission of support, education, and advocacy. Now in its 40th year, PFLAG has over 300 chapters and 200,000 supporters crossing multiple generations of American families in major urban centers, small cities, and rural areas in all 50 states. If you'd like to get involved in helping restart the Napa chapter, come to a meeting on Monday, March 18th at 7 p.m. at the Napa LGBTQ Project, 780 Lincoln Street in Napa. And speaking of Napa's LGBTQ Project, Project Director Ian Stanley reported this week that almost 500 LGBT members who live and work or go to school in Napa County have responded to the Napa LGBTQ Project Needs Assessment Survey. Ian said that the survey has yielded a lot of valuable information so far, but it's now time to dig a little deeper. The LGBTQ Project will be hosting a series of focus group meetings in March and April to discuss the survey data and to identify specific initiatives for responding to the needs of Napa's LGBT community. The first focus group is scheduled to meet on March 27th. You can learn more about the survey and the details for this first focus group meeting by going to their website at www.gaynapa.com. Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Monday, March 11th, and every Monday at 5:30 p.m., the Petaluma Health Center will host an LGBTQ support group at 1179 McDowell Boulevard in Petaluma. This group is open to all who identify as LGBT or who are questioning their sexuality and or gender. On Wednesday, March 13th at 5 p.m., Spectrum's Youth Support Group will gather at the Spectrum LGBT Center, 30 North San Pedro Road, Suite 12 in San Rafael. And on Saturday, March 16th, the Russian River Sisters present Angels and Demons Bingo at Guerneville Veterans Memorial Hall, 1st and Church Street in Guerneville. Tickets are available now at www.rrsisters.org. Doors open at 6 p.m. and the games start at 7 p.m. And this is an 18 and older event only. If you have news or an event you'd like to share with our listeners, be sure to tell us about it by going to our website at outbeatnews.com. And follow us all week long for the latest LGBT news and information from here in the North Bay and beyond. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Outbeat Music with Michaela Kennan.
Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Healing lies around you. Healing warmth within, softness, fragrance, comfort, healing now begins. Healing lies around
healing
you,
lies around
healing
you,
warmth within,
healing warmth within.
Soft stars in the sky, the eagles that fly, I'm always nearby. Remember me, remember me. I am the waves on the sea, the ancient oak tree, reach out and touch me. I'm in every breath you breathe as the wind blows. I'm in the sunlight dancing on your hair. Remember me. Remember me. I am the dark of the night, the moon's silver light. I'm holding you tight. Remember me. Remember me.
And we've been listening to members of the Threshold Choir singing the songs they sing literally at the threshold or passageway of death. These are intimate songs that often speak of comfort and forgiveness, sometimes trust, surrender, compassion. The women who perform this unique service are women who are also performing the most intimate acts of kindness and amazing grace through song. Their singing takes place in private homes, care centers, sometimes in hospice situations, sometimes at memorials, but no matter where, their words heal and bond and speak into being the power of music as an expression of the divine, embracing life and affirming change. I am most happy to welcome the members of the Threshold Choir. Ladies, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Speak Thank right you. Up into the mics as well.
Oh, happy to be here.
With me tonight is a returning guest, Dr. Venus Maher, a.k.a. the singing choir practitioner. You may remember that we interviewed her as an author on Outbeat Collage back in January. With her is Kate Munger. She is the founder of the Threshold Choir. Also, Kay Caldwell, the Sonoma County Director and Board President, and choir member Maria Culberson. Welcome again, ladies. I'm glad to have you with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
It's occurred to me that singing at life's threshold is a long, long tradition of culture and history, but no one does it quite the way you do it. Kate, as founder of Threshold Choir, talk to us about your inspiration behind forming this group.
The inspiration came quite a long time ago. My mother was a singer, and every night she would sing to each of my siblings, and I was the eldest, so I would hear her singing through the walls to all my younger brothers and sisters. So lullabies were very important in my life growing up. And then in 1990, I had the opportunity to spend a day in care of a friend of mine who was dying of HIV/AIDS in Petaluma. And I did chores all morning, and then I was to sit by his bedside and keep him company. Mm-hmm. And I was terrified. And I did at the time what I did when I was terrified, which was sing a special song that gave me courage and comfort. And as I was comforted and calmed, I watched him be comforted and calmed. And by the end of the afternoon, I felt like I had given him the essence of the best possible gift I could have given him personally. And I thought it was an idea that I could share.
It needed to be acted upon.
And I was right.
Uh-huh. And when you first approached others about this idea, what was their reaction?
About 50-50. Some people really thought it was not possible for them. The people that were attracted to the idea mostly got a shiver down the backs of their spines and said, yes, I've been waiting for this. Mm-hmm. Count me in. And it's a very self-selecting group of people. So, people don't join unless they're really motivated to do this work and they know who they are.
And we'll talk more about what that involves a little bit later in the show. But suffice it to say now, this has morphed into a national movement.
We have 100 choirs around the world.
around the world.
Australia, Canada.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What a sense of pride you must have.
Pride and very, very much enjoyment.
Everyone else, tell us how long you've been involved and how did you become involved? And start by speaking your name and go for it.
Well, I'm Maria, and I've been singing with Kate in the Threshold Choir since mid-2000, which was the year it was formed. And it's just been an incredible experience to sing, to go to bedsides once I felt ready, and to have the experience of singing with all of these wonderful women and to do this work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Venus Maher, and after my father died in 05, the choir came and sang at the Petaluma Hospice. And I got that shiver down my spine that Kate spoke of, and the longing to be part of something that matched my heart so fully. And I joined soon after and haven't looked back. It's so right. It matches.
I'm Kay Caldwell, and I was singing with Kate Rounds before Threshold Choir. And when she stopped doing rounds and started doing Threshold, I thought, well, I don't know if I want to sing at bedside. So I didn't go right away. And then when I joined, and some lot of the same songs, and then I started hearing people talk about their experience at bedsides, so I wanted to go, and it was very moving, and I've really loved it ever since then.
Now, the songs that we heard or have been listening to, these are all originals written by members of the choir?
At this point, we have a repertoire of about 451 songs, and half of them are written by choir members. And it's thrilling to sing the songs written by people we know and love.
Mm-hmm. And who were we listening to tonight?
The first song we heard was My Grateful Heart, written by Laura Fannin. After that, we heard Passing Time, written by Terry Garthwaite. Beyond that, we heard Healing Light, and I wrote that. And the last song we heard was Remember Me by Catherine Osborne.
Mm-hmm. But I also understand you throw in a little Bach now and then and maybe some Bob Dylan or some Beatles. Tell us about how the music is selected, how it is inspired to be written, just the music that you do.
When we are invited to come to a bedside, we ask some specific questions about the client's attention level, physical capacity, spiritual direction. And from that we get, and their position, where they are in the continuum as they're approaching their death. And we get an idea of where to start from that. And then we'll go to the bedside, introduce ourselves by singing a few of our songs. Then we might ask, is there a song you'd like us to sing for you? Mm-hmm. And if we know it, we'll sing it right away. If we don't know it, we go home and start studying YouTube and learn it.
Wow. And Kay, you are the choir director of our Sonoma County chapter. Mm-hmm. Just talk a little bit more about what you do specifically. And
it's basically the same. Whoever is anchoring the bedside decides on what songs we're going to sing, and right now I'm anchoring some bedsides at a care home, and Maria has done, we've all done some of that. And it depends, just what Kate says, it depends on if there are any requests. I mean, one of the bedsides I was at, one of the little kids in the family said, oh, Grandma always liked She'll Be Coming Round the Mountain, so we sang She'll Be Coming Round the Mountain.
Sure.
So we're flexible.
We also really love it when family members and caregivers join in singing with us. That's a tremendous goal because then we think they might do it again between our visits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful way to actually be at a bedside of someone you love rather than being busy. It's a way to really share, really connect, really breathe together. And family singing, there's nothing better than that. Around the bedside of someone they love.
And you are invited in. Is it the families who request you? Is it caregivers? How do people know about what you have to offer?
We try to be invited directly by the patient. If the patient isn't verbal, then sometimes it's a family member or a caregiver or a social worker or a chaplain. but we wait to be invited. Mm-hmm. That's a very important contract mm-hmm. for us, so that we know that at least at one point the client really wanted us to come. Sometimes things happen when we arrive that make it hard to sing, but we know that there was the intention for us to come and sing.
And then is this a one-time event, or how long do you stay involved?
We stay until they die and beyond, mm-hmm. if they've asked us to sing at their memorial. And as early as they can ask us to come, we're ready to come. It doesn't need to be an imminent situation. We actually prefer to get to know somebody and sing for them and with them for a while before the end comes, because mm-hmm. then we really have fine-tuned our experience with them and know them well enough to really know how to be useful and supportive and comforting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Venus?
We usually sing for a short time, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and because they're having their own experience, there's often a lot going on in their lives, or they're tired or in pain. So it's a short time, so it can fit in as they need, if it's once a week or whatever they need. And the family's involvement is so beautiful to see. Sometimes a family member needs to step out and have a little bit of time to themselves, but we invite them to stay. And sometimes I've seen where they intended to go and they stay in there. That was the best, you know, they say that was the best thing I could have done, is to be present and have you sing for us, uh-huh. my family member and myself.
Right. So it's not just singing for the patient, but it is mm-hmm. singing for the family.
Yeah, the mm-hmm. client is always the primary person, but their mm-hmm. family is welcome mm-hmm. as it works for them.
Mm-hmm. And is it sometimes that the music speaks words that they were unable to speak for themselves? I've got nodding. Everybody's nodding their heads.
Yeah, we have one song. The lyrics are, "It's all right, you can go, your memories are safe with us." And that's a song we don't sing lightly. We make sure it's the right song. We even ask to make sure it's the right song. But when we've sung it, it has been the right song.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps families with a difficult moment.
Right, right.
The other piece of this is the words mean a lot, and the melodies seem to bypass that part of the brain sometimes that is maybe barricaded against emotions, and it goes right to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So the melody along with the words touches something in them and in us.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm ready to hear some singing. Let me point out that on the CD recording that we were listening to, that was a choir of about 20, 25 members. When you go into a situation, it's really only about two or three people that go in at a time. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I have four of you ladies here. Let's hear some music right here live in studio.
Hold me, hold me, never let me go.
Hold me like the leaves at the end of the branches. And when I die, let me fly, let me fly through the air like the leaves when they're falling. Hold me, hold me, never let me go. Hold me like the leaves at the end of the branches. And when I die, let me fly, let me fly through the air like the leaves when they're falling. Ooh, 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 ooh.
the air is so rich and the emotions so full right now in our little studio. It's a lovely, lovely sound. Let's talk about the voice as an instrument of, well, the voice as an instrument and as a tool for healing.
What I'd like to share is that the blend of our four voices, or all the voices that we bring to a bedside, is what I think carries the magic. I think when you hear four voices and you can't tell where one is and the other is, begins, is the true magic. And it carries some kind of specialness to mm-hmm. it. And I could feel it when we were singing just now. And it's a beautiful thing to do, and it's a beautiful thing to offer. And to me, it's very meaningful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a resonance, you know, and it's all vibratory. And we know that that has an effect on the body, the brain. And, you know, Venus, you as a practicing doctor, I know that you use this with your clients. Talk to us a little bit about how that happens in your office.
What I find is that people are looking for the possibility of being seen and heard. In my practice as a singing chiropractor, what most of that involves is listening more than speaking or singing. It involves listening. Sometimes what someone needs is silence while the healing's going on. Sometimes what they need is song, and this is separate from Threshold Choir, but I use music very often to relax people and also to help them arrive in their bodies. And I think that's one of the things we do when we're grieving, too, is there's a tendency to barricade from those emotions. So to just become present, to notice breath as we breathe, both as a chiropractor, as choir members, the client in front of us is invited to breathe, is invited to arrive, to be present. So the voice is a very intimate way of connecting and reminding us to come home.
And I'm thinking of how primal that is from the very early times of when we hear lullabies or tender songs as children. What has been, and each of you please share a story if you have one, what has been the most profound or memorable experience that you've had during one of your times with clients?
Will you talk about your mom?
Sure. Well, we sang for my mother when she was failing, and over about 3 years. Actually, when she was in better shape, I brought her to our rehearsals. And then when she couldn't come anymore, some of us came to her bedside, and we sang Hold Me. That was one of the songs. And one of the times a bunch of us were singing for her, she just took hold of my hand and looked at me with this intense look and just kept my gaze for the whole time. And I was... I just kept singing. It was very moving. And after that, as we were leaving that room, a song came to me mm-hmm. about, I've got angels in my pocket, which is what I felt, that all of us were angels. And mm-hmm. I had that for myself and to offer to my mom.
Yeah, yeah. Anyone else?
One of the bedsides... I went to rehearsals for a number of years, really, before I went to bedsides. I felt I wanted to really know the songs, know myself, make sure that I was doing it from a really clean, clear place. And I wasn't sure I was ready to anchor, which means to lead. But so I went, and I listened and I followed, tried to blend. But then I noticed, once I got comfortable enough, that I stopped thinking about me, my ego, am I on track with pitch and the harmonics, the rhythms. I stopped thinking, and I was present, and then I was able to anchor. Even when my emotions rose, the wave of the song would carry. And so one of the experiences was a place where a family member had brought another family member from a long distance, and given so much of herself into that experience, that when we sang for them, I watched these two family members and the way they melted into their experience of love from one another. And I felt the tears coursing down my cheeks and the song riding through and the melody and the harmonies bringing that sacred. I mean, you receive so much more than you give in that moment. People say, oh, you're so, you know, noble to give. It isn't noble. It's incredibly awe-inspiring and an honor to be. I want to be where things really matter. And that's the edges of life like that. So that experience reminded me, this is why I do it. I want to be the honor, the witness of that moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I could talk about a lot of different bedsides, but in response to your question, I think the one that comes to mind is a few years ago I was singing to a woman in Petaluma, and I had really enjoyed singing with her, and it was clear that she was failing, and she was no longer verbal or awake. Her eyes were closed. And I came in and had an idea of the songs I would sing, and I realized that something else was happening, and I just sang whatever songs were not on my list but came, you know, into my awareness. And it was wonderful to watch her breathing slow, to watch anything that was restless become calm, to see little eyelid flutters, changes in her cheeks were a little less pale after a few songs than they were when I arrived. And as I was leaving, I put my hand on the bed next to her. I try not to touch people, you know, just let the music be the part that caresses them. But just to say, you know, thank you for being here and for letting me sing. And it was such an honor to be here today. And it was interesting that in that moment, one of the kind of orderlies of the care facility came by and said, oh, it's too bad she wasn't awake today. And I just had this moment of going, I know that she was absolutely present, and I felt a response to everything that I put out. And that was wonderful to realize that, you know, other people may not see that as awake or aware or participating, but I knew that she was there. And that was a wonderful bedside to attend.
Kate?
Well, what I'd like to bring up is that this work, while we're not strictly religious, it is prayer as opposed to performance. And I think it's really important to really state that clearly, that this is a way to bring the sacred into places where sometimes it's a little hard to find it.
Without parameters of religion or belief systems or anything like that, because prayer transcends, spirituality transcends, and these are definitely holy moments. Have you witnessed anything a little otherworldly, maybe some near-death experiences, or had anything like that happen while you've been present?
I arrived at a home where 15 minutes before the client had died, and it was the first time this had happened to me. It was quite a few years ago, and I was prepared to turn around and leave, and the woman's niece said, would you stay and sing? And I did, and my companion and I sang while the 85-year-old deceased woman's two friends from kindergarten,
wow,
a caregiver from hospice, and her niece washed, oiled, and dressed the body. And that was tremendously profound.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can imagine. Venus.
There are two experiences I want to share. One was when my mother passed. We sang for 3 weeks around her bedside, and she was mouthing the words when she was awake. She could no longer speak after cancer and the stroke, but she could mouth the words, and then she was just receiving them. But I felt when the moment she died, there was a warm wind that blew through and we were singing. I felt her just kind of take the notes in the wind and fly away. Mm-hmm. She wasn't tearing.
Mm-hmm.
And the second experience was someone who I had told about Threshold Choir, and they said, oh, I'll get around to calling, and didn't call, and finally said, would you sing tonight for my mother? And I said, okay. And called, and Kay and I went out, and as we were singing, the dog and the patient, mostly the dog, looked up in the corner of the room, and I felt there was something there. I don't know, but we were just singing away. And that person died that night at 1 a.m., so it was very important to listen to the request now.
And to pay attention.
Yeah.
Maria.
I would share just very briefly one of my favorite stories to tell, especially to new choir members who don't have an experience of bedsides themselves yet, is when I was fairly new to it myself, I went to sing at the bedside of a woman who was obviously very frail, very not responsive, not verbal. We'd been told before we arrived, this was the first time we were singing for, that she was not communicative, not to expect anything of that sort. And we went in and started singing for her. And, you know, we're from the Threshold Choir. We're here to sing you a song. We hope you like it. We'll be watching for signs that you're, you know, whatever you can give us. And the first song kind of didn't feel right. She was all of a sudden becoming more restless, and her breathing changed, and it seemed like something wasn't quite what we expected it to be. And we sang a second song, and I just had this feeling like, I'm not sure this is quite right. My inner guidance is saying, no. And this little woman, who we'd been told would not communicate, had been staring at a point on the wall where there wasn't anything. It was just a blank spot on the wall, and she pulled her gaze, and you could just feel how much energy it took for her to pull her gaze from this point on the wall and turn these watery blue eyes to us. And in the tiniest, steeliest voice, she looked at us and said, "Go away." And it was actually fantastic, because we could say, "Thank you for being so clear. We're going to leave now." And what I realized in that moment was there was something big going on in that room. And I couldn't see it, but I could feel it, and I was not helping. So to be able to honor and recognize that she was communicating with someone or something else, and that we had the great intention of singing, but this was not the moment. And so we could just step aside and let whatever was happening happen.
And I think that's an important thing to bring up, that as wonderful as all of this is, not always is it appropriate or even welcomed.
Mm-hmm. That's why we wait to be invited.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Mostly I'm hearing that women are involved. Is it primarily women singing together?
Each individual choir decides for themselves whether it's a co-ed choir or just women.
Uh-huh. And I imagine it has something also to do with working with men's voices and women's voices and the ability to stay in the same registers and keys. And
blend.
Mm-hmm. The blend.
Blend is important.
The blend behind, yeah.
But there are men in some of the choirs, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, and now tell us about, do you have regular rehearsals or practice times?
Yes. Well, our Sonoma County Threshold Choir meets twice a month, the first and third Wednesday of the month, for rehearsals. And for a while, one of our members was offering an extra rehearsal for newcomers to learn some of the basic bedside songs. And most of the choirs meet twice a month, although some meet every week. It's up to the choirs all over the country.
And are there other local chapters?
Yeah, around here there's a choir in Ukiah, in Napa, Davis, Sacramento, Woodland, North Berkeley, Oakland, Marin, San Francisco.
Wow.
Half Glen Moon Ellen. Bay, Glen Ellen, Palo Alto, Santa Cruz, San Jose, Pacific Grove.
And the list goes on.
Yeah.
That's wild.
And San Francisco.
And is it open to anyone, all ages?
Yes. The four requirements that we have established are, one, you can carry a tune. Two, you can blend your voice with others or sincerely want to learn. Three, you can hold your own part or sincerely want to learn. And four, that you can communicate kindness with your voice. So it's not auditioned. It's self-selecting.
Mm-hmm.
Singing softly is really important, and it takes a lot more muscle than it looks like it does.
So the person with the booming operatic voice probably wouldn't fit well in a situation.
It would take a lot of work to retrain their voice.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And I was just going to say, I didn't say in my introduction, but I've been singing since I was 4 years old, and I've done everything you can do with your voice in terms of performing, recording, you know, done national anthems at sporting events. And the hardest thing for me, and what I really wanted to work on when I first came to this, was to bring that kindness made audible to a very small, gentle, quiet place. And that was really hard to learn to do after so many years of projecting and taking over. And it's all about, you know, being big. This was about being intense, but very small and gentle.
Mm-hmm. And it's a different kind of control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Venus.
We put a folding lounge chair in the middle of the rehearsal living room with the blanket. Mm-hmm. And so choir members can get in for a couple of songs, which serves two purposes. One, it's really healing and wonderful to be in that chair and to get to experience what it's like to be the one laying down and being sung to. It often brings tears of peace and joy, or whatever kind of tears. The second is for those of us singing to the person who is reclining, we get to experience the difference between that kind of performance voice and that you just want to blend softly. You want to mm-hmm. bring it into the heart register mm-hmm. when you're singing to the person in the chair, when you're looking at them and you see their breath changing, you see the tear creeping out of the corner of their eye or their smile. You want to become one voice.
What it reminds me of is almost like a vocal form of Reiki. Mm-hmm. When you've got hands that are moving energy but not touching.
It's very energetic.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And I love that phrase, the kindness.
Kindness made audible.
Kindness made audible. That's gorgeous. The other side of this is the people who come in must also be comfortable working in situations with terminally ill, of grief and mm-hmm. loss and all the emotions that come at those times. Is there a bit of an orientation around that?
There is. There are extra workshops called Nurturing Your Bedside Singing. We're also about to embark on a national certification in collaboration with another national bedside singing organization. And that will make a continuity of training uh-huh. among all the bedside singers.
Do you come together as a whole big group? Do you have a time when all
we have 1,000 members across the country.
A little hard to do.
Yeah. We do electronically very strongly on our website, thresholdchoir.org. And we're about to have our 7th national gathering. 110 of us will be there, but not 1,000 of us.
Wow. Wow.
There are also regional gatherings, so we find different ways of coming together to help share the knowledge mm-hmm. in the songs.
Mm-hmm. And for all of the above reasons, I'm sure there's also times when you get together simply to socialize and play and be with one another.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Are those organized events, like let's all go to Kate's house tonight for dinner?
Yeah, mm-hmm. occasionally there's a potluck or a picnic or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Or a play day.
Mm-hmm. But we love to sing so much that usually there's song there.
Ah, of course. Of course.
Sing in the locker room. I mean, you can't stop us.
I understand that. So let's hear some more music.
What we're going to sing for you now are songs by Maria, who's here, and Kay, who's here. We're going to start with Maria's song, From My Heart to Yours. From my heart to yours, a song without end.
May it offer you comfort and healing, my friend. Though I cannot go with you, your journey goes on. I can laugh with you, cry with you, sing till you've won your freedom from suffering, released from all fear. May you find all the love that you needed was here.
And now here's Kay's song, Angels in My Pocket.
We don't sing this at bedsides exactly. This is just the one that came to me after we sang for my mom. Mm-hmm. I've got angels in my pocket. They sing in harmony and ease the way. I've got angels at my back. Their voices bring the light to eyes gone gray. And when I sing with them, and when we sing together, I'm an angel too. I'm an angel too.
Very nice. Very nice. There's a wonderful article that is available online. It's in the Real Simple magazine, and I believe it's April of 2006, that gives a wonderful overview of the Threshold Choir. One of the really interesting points that the article makes is that women often join groups such as this because they want to make a difference, but it ends up that they stay because of the difference the experience has made in them. What difference has this made in each of your lives?
Well, that song said a lot about what it made for me. I'm an angel too. I feel like this singing and being part of it and having it in my body and sharing it with other people has helped me through a lot of difficult times in my life. So I'm very happy to be in a good place now and giving back.
I've shortened my life goals down to a word, CHECK. That stands for Change My Corner of the World Through Chiropractic Creativity and Kindness. And Threshold Choir works with my life goals. It also brings me back to my breath, to my body, to my heart, and helps me feel like I'm part of something that matters, that goes deep.
For me, I think being with the choir and doing this work and singing these songs and having them just kind of go into me on such a deep level has changed everything. My career is different. My relationships are different. My life is different. Where I live is different. And it's slowed me down and it's given me a center. And it was wonderfully kind of sneaky. It just sort of flowed into every little corner I didn't know was there. And everything has changed and everything is better because of it.
For me, since I started the choir in almost 13 years ago today, I have had this remarkable sense of purpose and waking up every morning knowing exactly why I'm here. And to me, that's an extraordinary sensation that I don't think many people get. I know that everything that I've ever done in my whole life up until I started the choir when I was 50 has been contributing to it. Everybody I've ever known, every experience I've ever had, every skill I've ever acquired has come into play. And every single day, I know why I'm here.
Is this a calling?
Oh, yes. It is.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And again, I'm hearing.
Yes.
I'm
seeing.
We're all nodding.
Everybody nodding. Yeah. Yeah. If people wanted to become involved, how would they get in contact with you? Or,
I think the best starting place is our website, thresholdchoir.org. You get to read about us, listen to us, explore the concept, and then be able to find out exactly where the choir is that's closest to you.
And has there been an experience where someone has spent some time with you in rehearsals and then said, no, this is probably not where I need to be?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's perfectly okay to come in.
Yeah. Well, and I think being a women's organization, there are times when it's the right fit and times when it's not. In our local choir, we have a couple soccer moms who, you know, come really regularly, and then it's and now it's lacrosse season, so I'll see you a little later. Or, you know, it's for a lot of us, it's part of our daily lives and very much part of our yearly calendar. But for other people, it may be the right time, and then they have to pull away and focus on something else and maybe come back to us.
Mm-hmm. So it's a very fluid, very organic mm-hmm. kind of experience. Mm-hmm. Good. And once again, it's threshold, just like it sounds, .org.
Threshold Choir.
Threshold Choir.
.org.
Yeah. And Venus, you were going to say something.
Many of our members have been retired. Some are not. Some are working. As a working mom, I have found Threshold Choir to be incredibly accepting of who I am and how I can show up, thanks to the model that Kate manifested, and Kay and everyone else. So I can come and give what I've got to give, and if I can't be there for a particular rehearsal or bedside, I'm still a part of Threshold Choir. I will be a part of Threshold Choir till I die, and then I want you all at my bedside. Or maybe, you know, at least three or four.
You're not at ours first.
Yeah. Excellent. Right. Excellent. Well, everyone, Venus, Kay, Kate, Maria, you know, I want to virtually bow in respect and reverence for not only the mission you are on, but the ministry that you perform. And it is, in fact, a ministry. So I'm very, very glad. I feel as though we have created many, many deep sacred moments this evening. It's a feeling that we haven't felt in the studio before, and it will stay with all of us. It will stay with all of us. So may each of you keep those angels in your pockets. Please stay in touch with us so that we can get regular updates and have you back, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
It's been truly my pleasure. I'd like to ask if you will kind of sing us up to the top of the hour, okay?
You are not alone. I am here beside you. You are not alone. I am here.
And once again, I'd like to extend my special thanks to the members of the Threshold Choir, to Mary Moore Campagna for engineering and helping us bring this wonderful music to you. I invite you to join Gary and I next week on Outbeat Collage, when our guests will be Colin Turek, Miguel Lulan, and Robert Mueller, all of Out and About Santa Rosa. Next month on Outbeat Music, it's an intimate evening with Bobby Joe Valentine. Until next time, may I remind you, be real, be remarkable, always do keep a song in your heart, and now an angel in your pocket. I'll see you next time.